Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. Well, today is Declaration Sunday here at BVC, and that is Baptism Sunday. Woo! And so we're super excited for all the people in following second service that are going to be baptized today. We're excited for them that this is their day to declare to the Lord their love, their trust, and to publicly state that they are a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what baptism is all about. And so we started out, last week was Easter. What a great Easter we had. We had just such a fabulous service, didn't we? And just so many people getting born again, rededicating their lives, coming back to God, and just a beautiful day. And, you know, and just in praying, you know, we pray here in the morning, and on Friday, the Lord just spoke a word to me, and it was continue. Continue. And so I just encourage you, if the Lord stirred some things in your heart on Easter and you got excited about the things of God, let that continue in you. Don't let it go away until Christmas. Amen. Let it continue in you. Jesus is an everyday God, not just a holiday God. He's an everyday God. He wants to be part of your everyday. And so I just received that word just in the spirit to continue. And so I encourage you to continue pressing and pushing into the things of God, because there is just no better place to be. Amen? There's no better place to be. And so today we're going to do that with talking about baptism. And I want to share with you why baptism is so important, why we put such a big make it such a big deal. You say, oh, why do you make this such a big deal? Because it is a big deal. Amen? Baptism is a very big deal, and it's very important. And a lot of times, you know, when you talk about baptism, people have two questions usually. One is, why is it so important? And two is, am I saved if I'm not baptized? Well, let me tell you now, yes, you're saved. You get saved by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, confessing Him with your mouth and believing in your heart. Amen? That's how you get born again. But baptism is the very next step. It's supposed to be the very next step. And so by not taking it, you are just honestly in disobedience to the word. And so, sure, we all know the example of the thief who was next to Jesus on the day he was crucified. And Jesus said, he called him Lord. And Jesus said, what? Today I will be with you in paradise. He got born again. Now, obviously, he didn't have time to get down from the cross, go jump in the river, get back on the, you know, that didn't happen. He wasn't baptized. But, and you know, and we know people that get baptized on their death, I mean, get saved on their deathbed and get saved, you know, right before they go on to be with Jesus. And yes, of course, those people are saved. But for those of us who have been born again, why not do what Jesus commanded us to do and be baptized? There's really no good reason not to be. And, you know, in Jesus, I believe that one of the reasons why baptism is so important is because the Bible instructs that it is a public thing. It's a public thing where we declare, that's why we call it my declaration, we declare that we are followers of Jesus. We do it publicly. We put aside our vanity. How many know you don't look that great when you come out of that pool? You know, we put aside our vanity. We put that aside, and we say that Jesus is more important than any of that. And it instills in us from the very beginning, it instills in us a consciousness and a decision that God is more important than man. And that is one reason why baptism is so important, because it is a decision that you make where you say, I'm more concerned for what Jesus thinks than what man thinks. Because, you know, many times God will use something that doesn't really make sense to your natural mind. He will use it to explain to you a very strong spiritual something that's happening on the inside of you. He'll use it with something that's like, oh, you know, why do I need to go get into a pool or get into water? Why do I need to do that? But God uses that to explain to us that something powerful and amazing has happened in your spirit, man. Amen? And so today, I want to take you through the Word, and I want to teach you, remind you, if you're here today, you say, I've already been baptized. Well, let this stir up on the inside of you the importance of what you did that day and how that day is a marker. It is a covenant marker with the covenant you have with God. That's what baptism is. You know, every covenant that we enter into with God, every covenant that we enter into always has an outward sign. It always has a physical sign. And baptism is a covenant sign of the covenant that we are now in with God because we're born again. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
And so when we need to be excited about it. I mean, I was baptized many years ago. But I still remember that day. I still remember that it was freezing cold. It was snowing. We almost didn't make it to church because of the ice on the roads. Now, obviously, I didn't live in Florida. And I was baptized with my father and my brother Michael. The three of us got baptized together. Now, I say that my mother was there, but my brother Mike says she wasn't there. But I think she got baptized with us. And I'm searching for pictures to prove it. But to this day, we disagree whether our mom got baptized with us or not. I say she did. He says we didn't. How many believe I'm right? Thank you. Thank you very much. I just believe she was there. And so, but the thing about it is, I still remember that day. I remember that I did that in front of all those people because I wanted to show everybody, I wanted to declare to everyone that I was born again. And that's what baptism is about. And so it's not we do it one time. Yes, that's true. Some people get baptized again because they've fallen away from the Lord, and it's just a sign to them that they are back into the presence of God. But baptism is something that we do, but it is a declaration. It's something we remember for our lifetime. It's a marker to us. That's the day I declared publicly with an outward show of my covenant with God. It's a powerful time. And so the Word has a lot to say about it. And so we're going to go in there. Are you guys ready? Let's get ready. Get ready. I got to. And so much work goes into this baptism. I'll tell you what. They do such a good job setting everything up. And this year, you know, we were here yesterday. And I tell you, everybody just worked so hard to get it done. And we were so concerned about the weather. You know, we prayed and believed God for the weather. It's not supposed to rain today. Everybody say thank God. Because previously they said it was going to rain today. But prayer works. But I believe by the time we do our next baptism, we're going to have this beautiful indoor baptism that we found that will fit here. So be in agreement with us. It costs $4,000, and we say we're going to get it. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to get it. So wouldn't it be great to be able to sit here and watch everybody get baptized on the stage? Wouldn't that be awesome? And so that's our plan for our next baptism. But here we go. Let me read you a couple of scriptures. These are not in your notes. These are bonus. Say bonus.
Bonus.
These are bonus scriptures. And so when we talk about baptism, here's an interesting fact. There are 9 conversions. 9 when people got saved. 9 incidences. Not 9 people, but 9 incidences. Every single one of those is followed by baptism in the New Testament. How many think baptism is important?
Yeah.
It's so important. We know in Acts chapter 8, verse number 13, it says, Simon himself believed and was baptized. Amen? And then when we see in Acts chapter 2, verse number 41, it says, those who accepted his message were baptized. In Acts chapter 8, verse number 12, it says, and when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Amen? And then baptism was so important to Jesus that the first thing he did, the very first thing he did when he entered into his ministry, his public ministry, was to be baptized. So think about that. Before he turned water into wine, before he healed anyone, before the Sermon on the Mount, before anything, Jesus was baptized. And so we know, and I've taught this many, many times, everything that Jesus did falls into 2 categories. 1, he either did it for me, or 2, he did it to show me. He did it as an example for me to follow him in it. And baptism, Jesus showed, was so important that he did it. So if you think the Son of God himself recognized the importance of baptism and showed us by example that you need to be baptized. Amen? To me, that's just so incredibly powerful. If anybody could have skipped that step, it would have been Jesus. Amen? And so we need to make sure that we don't have that mindset that says, well, I'm born again, that's enough. No, it's not enough. Jesus shows us that baptism is important. Amen? And so when we think about this, Jesus himself was baptized, and in his final instructions to his followers, Jesus said for his followers to make disciples, which are fully surrendered people of Jesus Christ, right? He said, make disciples, and the first thing we instruct them to do is to be baptized in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what's going to happen today. People are going to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so baptism is the first of many steps that we take in our spiritual walk with God. And sometimes people get them a little out of order, but that's okay. The important thing is that you do it. Amen? The important thing is you do it. Baptism became the practice and the pattern of the early church. And we know through the word that on the day that Peter spoke and 3,000 people got saved, guess how many people got baptized? 3,000. They got saved, they got baptized. That's how it works. And again, out of the 9 conversion stories in the New Testament, all of them are followed by baptism. Amen? And so we need to be baptized. Number one reason is to obey Jesus' command. So look in your Bibles over in Matthew 28, verse number 19. And he says, so you must go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And you can be sure that I am always with you to the very end. And so Jesus himself says, listen, you need to make sure that people, once they get saved, they get baptized. And here's a word I want us to look there. He says, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so one of the main reasons that we want to be baptized is because it is in obedience to the word. It is in obedience to what God tells us to do. And you know, just to, how many are ready to just get a little tough? Because you know, Jesus is tough. You know, Jesus loves us. He loves us. He loves us just like we are. But he also commands us not to stay that way. Amen. He commands us not to stay that way. And of course, he forgives us. The Lord forgives us. But God loves us so much. He says, okay, you're getting baptized. Now let's begin to move forward. You're getting saved. Now let's begin to move forward. Let's begin to start the change. Start the renewal of your mind. Start the new experience with God. When you have God in your life, you should change. Amen. You know, that's why, you know, the relationship we have with the Holy Spirit, you know, we're talking about on Wednesday night, is so important. When you have the Holy Spirit, when you are in communion with God himself, it should change you. And if it's not changing you, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. That's because an unchanged Christian is called a carnal Christian. And see, you say, oh, here we go. Here's what the rules. And no, change is a good thing. Amen? Change is a good thing. Yes. Who would want to change to be more powerful, more loving, more forgiving, more knowledgeable, to walk free of shame, to walk free of guilt, to walk free of condemnation, to know who you are in Christ, to know that you are loved beyond measure, to know that no one loves you like God loves you, amen, to have that perfect love cast out all fear in your life. Who doesn't want that change? Crazy people. Crazy people don't want that change, right? It would say, hey, you know, I got something that can change you. What is wrong with us if we say, oh, I just want to be the same? I want Jesus, but I want to stay the same. No, that's not the way it's supposed to work. No. What do we say? That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. We all want the benefit of a life with God. But few of us want to do the change that's required for the benefits of a life with God. And so when we don't get baptized, we need to seriously ask ourselves why. Is it because of vanity? Is it because I'm more concerned with my appearance than I am with obeying God? Because if you won't get baptized because you don't want anybody to see you with wet hair, that's vanity. And we laugh about it, but listen, it's true. If you don't want to get baptized because you know the people or anything like that, then you need to call us and say, hey, you know, can you baptize? We've baptized people at the beach, but there's always going to be people where you get baptized because being baptized is a public thing. It is a public declaration that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. It is a public declaration that his word and his commandment is more important than anything else. And so the number one reason we want to be baptized, and we should be baptized, is to be in obedience to the word of God. Amen? Because if you're going to start off your Christian walk in disobedience, how many think that's going to work good for you? No, it isn't. And so that is why I believe the more I study baptism, the more I study the word, I believe that baptism, the reason, because you think like, why, what? This doesn't really make that much sense, right? I mean, think about it for a second. You're going to go in water. There's nothing in the water, right? It's just regular water. We don't, you know, get Jerusalem water for the pool. You know, that's Lake Worth water. That is Lake Worth water right there. We don't get, you know, Red Sea water, Dead Sea water. We don't get it shipped in. That's Lake Worth water. And so the water isn't special. The pool, we bought that at Walmart. That's not special. Now, our new $4,000 one, when that comes, that's going to be special, right? But that's another day. And so when you think about baptism, people got baptized. You know, when the eunuch, remember him, when he got baptized and they were going down the road, he got saved. When he got saved, when Philip led him to the Lord and he was driving down the road and he said, there's water right there. What's stopping me from being baptized right now? See, he understood the power of obeying God. He understood that. And he got baptized right there in probably dirty, muddy water. And so it isn't the water that's special. It isn't where you are that's special. None of that is special, but God uses things that are not special to do special things. Because what's special about it is that you are saying, I am going to obey God. I am going to begin my walk with God in obedience and not disobedience. I'm going to begin my walk with God by saying what His word says is more important than anything else. It's more important than my hairdo, it's more important than my makeup, it's more important than who sees me, it's more important than, you know, being all wet and slippery when I get out of the pool, it's more important than all of that. I want to be in obedience. Remember when Jesus said, if you will not proclaim me to men, then I will not proclaim you to the Father. What is he talking about there? He's talking about the fear of man. The fear of man. And baptism, I believe that baptism is a moment in your life where you can say, I am not subject to the fear of man. I am not subject to the fear of man. I am in obedience to the will of God. And when you start your Christian walk like that, man, you're gonna move mountains. Because you are starting it in a declaration that says, I am not in fear of man. Amen? I am not in fear of man. Let's just be honest. How many of us, the fear of man has kept us from some of the things of God? All of us probably in here. And so that's why making a declaration through baptism, and that's why Jesus put baptism right after salvation, because you get saved. That's a personal, private decision. But he says, now you've made this personal, private decision. Let's make it public so you can begin your walk with me with no fear of man. You can begin your walk with me with a declaration to everybody, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. That's why baptism is so important. That's why it doesn't matter if, you know, if it's a fancy baptism, it's a pool we bought at Walmart. What matters is you're saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. Amen? And so let's keep going here. And so we want to obey what God tells us to do. And Baptism is one of the first steps in following Jesus. You know, when we become born again, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he says that next step, say next step, should be getting baptized. And then in Matthew chapter 3, let's look there. Let's look at when Jesus got baptized. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 and 17. I'm going to read them to you out of the New Living Translation. It says, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Let's just stop right there. Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. And yet he is going and being subject to another. He's being baptized by, for a lack of a better way to put it, a regular person. Isn't that powerful? He's showing what man thinks isn't important, what God thinks is important. Amen? Because if anybody could have said, I'm the Son of God, send some angels down to baptize me. Send somebody down here. But no, he got baptized by John. Who, great man of God, but he was a regular guy just like you, just like me. And so one reason that I believe Jesus did this is to show us, don't let pride keep you from being baptized. Amen? Amen. Because when we try to figure things out in our head and we try to make godly things make sense to a natural mind, they don't. They're not supposed to. They're supposed to make sense to our spirit man. And so Jesus is saying there, you know what, listen, people were like, what's he doing? He's the Son of God. Why is he being, but he doesn't need to be baptized. He's saying everybody needs to be baptized. So don't let pride keep you from being baptized. Don't let your ideas keep you from God ideas. Amen? Don't let what you think keep you from doing what God says. Because that's just going to lead somewhere you don't want to go. Amen? Let's keep going. And he says, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, verse number 14. But John tried to talk him out of it. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done. It should be done. For we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. So God requires it. God commands it for us to be baptized. And then verse number 16, he says, after his baptism, as Jesus came out from the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Oh, praise God. And so why is baptism so important? Because God commanded it. God commanded that we do it. And number two reason, it's an outward picture of what's happened to me on the inside. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse number 12. This is such a powerful scripture. It says, when you were baptized, you were buried together with him. You were raised to life together with him by believing in God's power. God raised Jesus from the dead. So what's happening is when I'm baptized, now what do I do before I get baptized? I get saved. I get born again. And then Jesus commanded, get people saved, get people baptized. Saved, baptized. It's supposed to be the very next step. So it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the very next step. Because it begins your walk with God. It begins that journey you have with God. It begins it in the right direction. And so when we see this, I get saved, and then I get baptized. So what happened? God said, listen, now you're born again. You've been raised to life. Let me show you with an outward picture of what's happened to you on the inside. Now we know, who's been baptized in here? Raise your hand. Raise your hand big and tall because you're proud of it. Awesome. All right, so we've been baptized. So now remember, baptism is not sprinkled. It's not sprinkled. And here's why it's not sprinkled. So they say, oh, you're just being difficult. No, I'm not being difficult. I'm being biblical. Amen. Biblical. And sometimes biblical seems difficult. But it's God's word. We want to do it God's way, right?
That's right.
Here's why sprinkling. You know, we could do that in here easy, right? Just that. No, that's not how it goes. And here's why. Because when Jesus was on the cross, he died. He died. And he was buried in the tomb. They rolled the stone in front of the tomb. That was burial. And here's what's more important. In the spirit, when Jesus died, he wasn't just like, hey, when do I go back? Hey, how? What's going on? He wasn't hanging out with God, was he? No. The Bible says, when Jesus died on the cross for me, buckle your pew belt, because some of you guys are going to blow your mind a little bit. You've never heard this, I bet. When Jesus died on the cross for me, he went to hell for me. And while he was there, he took the keys. Remember, we taught this last week. He took the keys to death and hell. Right? Remember that? He took the, why did he have to take those keys? Because they represent the authority over death. They represent authority over the enemy. They represent, because you know, whoever has the key, they're in charge. And so he, when he died on the cross, then he went down into hell. He got those keys. He brought them back up. And then, so when I get born again, the old me is what? Dead. Just like Jesus was dead on the cross, he died for me. So when I get baptized, that I need to be immersed in water because it represents, it's an outside picture of what's happened on the inside of me. The old me is dead. And what do you do with dead things? You bury them. And so when that water covers you, it needs to cover you. When you are immersed in that water, when that water covers you, it is an outside picture of what's happened on the inside. The old me is dead. Now it's buried, is covered in that water, but I don't stay down there. How many are glad when you get baptized? Pastor Scott doesn't hold you down there. They don't see how long you can stay down there. They don't put you down there and then start a chit-chat. They don't do that. What? They put you down, you're immersed in that water, and then what happens? Colossians says you are raised to life. Amen. Just like Jesus, he went down into hell, took those keys, and then he was raised to life. Amen? And that's why you got to be covered, because it's an outside show of what's happened to me on the inside. And you know what? The old me is completely dead. It's dead. And so I don't want to leave any, I don't want to have a hand sticking out, you know? I don't want to have anything sticking out. That it's all dead. So it's all covered. And then when I come up out of that water, that is the representation of being raised to life with Jesus. Ephesians says that I've been raised up together and seated together with Christ at the right hand of the Father. Amen? When I get born again, I am together with Jesus. And that's why baptism is so important, because it is a public display of what has happened to me on the inside. And when that old you starts to come back, how many of you ever had that old you start to come back? You can just look at it and say, you are dead, you are buried, you did not come up with me when I got baptized. You didn't come up. That part of me is left in the pool. The brand new me is raised to life. And here's why this is so good. As I was reading this week, I was just reading some scriptures. And when the Bible talks in Hebrews, and it says that Jesus went and he sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat. Amen? He sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. You know why that's so important? Because he did that, and here's what baptism represents. Because when we get born again, before that, we've got a lot of stuff that we need the blood of Jesus to wipe away, right? Amen. We got a lot of baggage. We got a lot of mistakes. We got a lot of just junk. We got that old me, and we need the blood of Jesus to wash it away. And that's exactly what the blood of Jesus does. But when he sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat, here's what that empowered for us. That the old sins, the old mistakes, the old part of us is no longer part of us. Amen. That means when I get raised to life, I get raised to life with a clear conscience. I get raised to life with no shame for my past. Because I am raised to life, I am raised up out of the guilt and the condemnation that my past tries to bring. And it's all because of the blood of Jesus. And that's why it's so important that you know that. You need to know that. Because when our past starts to come back, right? How many got a past? How many got one you don't want to talk about? I'm going to raise everything. You got his, you know. But the thing about it is because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of what he's done on the inside of me, I can look at that past and say, that's not me. That's not me. That was me. But that is not me anymore. That's why even if you have stolen, you don't have to wear a label of thief. If you have lied, you don't have to wear a label of liar because you've been raised up out of it. And now you have the label of child of God. Amen? Amen. It changes everything. Being born again changes everything. And that's why when you go down in that water, how many know you look totally different when you come back out? Yeah. It changes everything. And so God uses that natural experience for a very supernatural, spiritual experience. And so why is baptism so important? Number one, because God commanded it. And number two, because it's an outward picture of what's happened to me on the inside. I'm brand new. I'm different now. And when people say, oh, you don't want to do all the things we used to do, just look at them and say, it's because I'm different now. You're not the same anymore. That's the point. I'm not the same anymore. You don't want to hang out and do this, this, and this. It's because I'm different. It's because I've been changed by the blood of Jesus. And listen, if you want to still do all those same things, you need a little more Jesus. Not that you need more Jesus. He's enough of him, but you need to understand more of what he's done. Because when you understand what he's done, oh, the past, it just doesn't look good anymore. Amen. It just doesn't look good anymore. It's kind of like after you see those videos of what's really inside of Chicken McNugget. They just don't look good anymore, right? It's like those used to just look so good, and then you see that video, and you're like, oh, it just doesn't look good anymore. It's the same thing when you get born again. It's like you see things differently. Why? Because you are different. You are different. And so when we think about this, why do we go underwater when we're baptized? Because it signifies that old things, my past sins, they are buried with Jesus. And I love when Colossians says, he says, you were raised to life. You were raised to life. Things that were dead, and that's our what we're talking about these next few weeks, things that have died because of life. Life has a way of hurting some things. Life has a way of, they can kill your emotions to where you no longer feel anymore. Life can kill a marriage where you don't have passion in it anymore. Life can kill dreams where you don't dream them anymore. But the good news is, when you have Jesus, everything in you is raised to life. Now all the power you need to stir those dreams back up, to stir that passion back up, to change that dead situation. It's in you because you've been raised to life. Amen? And baptism shows that. And it is a mark in time where things feel dead, you can go back to and say, no, I was raised to life. Amen? That's why we take a picture so you can look at it. When life gets hard and you feel like nothing's working, you can look at that picture and say, on this day, I was raised to life. Amen? And the next reason why we want to be baptized is because it's a decision of faith. Romans chapter 6, verse number 4 says, by being baptized, you were buried with Christ Jesus into his death. Christ Jesus has been raised from the dead by the Father's glory. And like Christ Jesus, we can also live a new life. Being baptized doesn't save you. The blood of Jesus saves you. You're receiving of what Jesus did on the cross, receiving it, accepting it, believing it in your heart, and confessing it with your mouth. That saves you. Baptism is that declaration of faith that says, I believe that day I gave my life to Jesus, something happened. I believe that day I gave my life to Jesus, I became a brand new creation in Christ. I believe on that day my sins were forgiven, that I received the power to live life on this earth. I believe that I've been raised up with Jesus. I believe that. And baptism says it declares my faith. And that's why we call it my declaration. It's my declaration that I believe it. That's what faith is. I believe it. I believe it. And I am declaring to everybody that I am a follower of Jesus. And that's why baptism is so important. Don't skip this step. Don't think it's not important. Jesus himself was baptized. God instructed us to be baptized. Of all the conversions in the New Testament of people getting saved, they are all, without exception, followed by baptism. Why would you be an exception? You're not. We need this declaration. We need it. God knows. You say, I don't need that. Everybody knows I'm already saved. You need it because of the spiritual component of it. Because when Jesus got baptized, it was after he was baptized that the Holy Spirit, the dove, descended on him, and he walked in a greater understanding and knowledge of the things of God. He began, it's when the anointing came. And after that is when the miracles began. And so when we get baptized, and you can study through all the people who got baptized, Peter and John and Paul and everybody, that after they were baptized, that their spiritual understanding was greater. Because when you live in disobedience, you put up a wall, and you cannot grow to your full potential when you have disobedience in your heart. Can't do it. Because disobedience is just a better way to say rebellion. Because by not being baptized, you are saying, and I know this is a hard message, but it's good for you. Look at your neighbor and say, it's good for you. Say it like you mean it. It's good for you. By not being baptized, for whatever reason you've given yourself, it's really rebellion. Because when God tells you what to do, and you choose not to do it, what's that called? It's called rebellion. I'm going to rebel against this instruction and do it my way. I don't want my way. My way leads to Peggy Avenue. There is nothing there that I want. I want God Street. Amen? I want the pathway he has for me. Psalms 32:8 says that he will lead me on the best pathway for my life. And the only way you follow the leader is by following the instructions. If you want God results, you got to do it God's way. God's way is we get saved because he loves you so much. He loves you so much that he made the way for you to have a brand new life in him. He loves you so much that he made the way for you to be raised to life with him. He loved you so much, he made the way for all your sins, past, present, and future, to be forgiven. God loves you, and he has instructions for you. But he's a good, good father. And his instructions lead you on the best pathway for your life. Let's not think we've got a better way to do it. Sometimes that's how we are. We're like, oh, I can do that better. No, God's got this. Let's do it his way. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you. We're so grateful that you love us. That, Lord, baptism is an expression of our love to you, but it's also an expression of your love to us. That you made it possible for us to have relationship with you. You love us so much that you gave your only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. There is a price to pay for sin. And God's love for us is so great, He sent Jesus to pay it for us. Jesus came. He died on the cross. He paid the price of sin so that you and I could live life without shame, without guilt, without condemnation, but we could live life together with God in a relationship. That is the message of Jesus. Love for you. And when we receive that love, when we allow Jesus to pay the price for us by receiving Him as Lord and Savior, it means we are saved. We are born again. We have been born into the family of God. So how do I do that? People make things complicated. God makes things easy. The way that we do that is to believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's it. You don't have to clean up. You don't have to straighten up. You don't have to wear different clothes. You don't have to cut your hair. You don't have to take your makeup off. You don't have to do any of those things. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's it. So if you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you say, Peggy, I need to do that. I want to know that I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I want to be raised to life with Jesus. I want what God has for me. With no one looking around out of respect for people, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I want what God has for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for every person here, that, Lord, that we would all just know you more. Not what man says, not what tradition says, but what you say. Lord, let us walk in, experience, and know the God of the Bible, the one who loves us, died for us, and is coming again for us. Oh, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, let's all say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Who's excited to watch some people get baptized today? Amen? It's going to be great.